So today we'll be talking about axions and misalignment. So in the end, we are going to add some more lines in the plot that I drew like a few lectures ago. So let me just draw this in here. So I have the density as a function of the scale factor. Right. So we have radiation. We have matter, and then we have the cosmological constant. Okay. And so again, like this is matter radiation equality. We are somewhere today, right? Where now, like there is a little bit more cosmological constant than the matter. So a few lectures ago, we talked about the WIMP. And also the baryons, both of them have some density curve like this. So this is like the WIMP. So at early time, they redshift like radiation because they are coupled to the standard model of thermal baths. And then, like the temperature is very hot, larger than the mass of the particle. So at the point when the temperature is crossing the mass of the dark matter particle, you have the significant decrease of the mass density of the dark matter state, right? So for WIMP, and then like a redshift like matter. And we talked about the evolution in the early universe that will produce the right amount of dark matter and the so-called WIMP miracle. So today we'll be talking about a second type of density evolution in the early universe. So that's the evolution of, for example, an axion-like particle. So this is going to be something like an axion-like. Okay. So the real case, the axion actually evolves a little bit different compared to this, but we are going to use this as an example to start with. And then, like, I will comment on like two different ways you can actually produce a QCD axion dark matter, and how they differ from the scenario that I will spend most of the time talking about. Okay, so again, like, we'll be talking about evolution of densities today. So remember from last time, we wrote down this equation. Have you reproduced?
Nope.
No, not yet. Okay, but you will. Okay, so and I will omit the last part, just to write this part. Okay. Well, which is the energy depending on the theta angle, or the axion field, and when we promote it to the field. Okay, so we understand like theta equal to zero is a minimum of the potential, and when we promote theta to a field, so axion field A, and then like axion decay constant FA, so so like theta has a periodicity of theta going to theta to 2 pi. And as a result, axion field also has a periodicity of 2 pi fa. Okay, so this is a periodic potential with the period which is set by the axion decay constant. Okay, so so now like today we'll be talking about the dynamics of this field. So first let's just look at the structure of the potential near its minimum. Right, so to do that, basically I take two derivatives on this potential, and against theta, or like over a, then I will get 1 over fa squared. And I will get this combination. Okay, multiplied by the pi on mass square, f pi square, right? So these quantities here. So this you know, like this has to be the factor that comes out because the potential has to go away when either the up quark mass or the down quark mass goes to zero, right? At that point, the theta angle is no longer physical and the potential should vanish. Okay, so that's going to be the structure. And from this the thing, what I'm getting is basically the mass of the axion square, right? So depending on the axion decay constant, from this potential, I know like I'm talking about a particle which has a mass that is like proportional to some QCD-like scale, some ratio of the quark masses, which is order one number, and then like inverse proportional to the axion decay constant, right? So these quantities are all known quantities in the standard model. So I can draw the axion parameter space, right? So so I will have MA, and I will have FA inverse, okay, on the other axis. And we basically have a line, right? In the so here, like I'm doing a log-log plot, okay? So almost all the plots you are going to see, like in like when we are talking about searching for new physics, they are all log-log plots, and so that like you can see like clearly like the parametric dependence. So here the MA times FA is a constant. So in this two-dimensional plot, you see a line, right? So this is basically known as the QCD axion line. And you're going to see a figure like this a lot when we talk about both the evolution of the energy densities, and later we will be talking about how to look for the QCD axion. Okay, so just to give you some number here, one important parameter point here is, let's say like I take FA to be 10 to the 10 GeV, then so this both of these quantities are order 100 MeV, so MA is going to be something like 100 MeV squared over 10 to the 10 GeV, right? So we can do some math. So it's 10 minus 12 GeV or or like a milli-EV. Okay, so basically, for as we will see, like when we talk about experiment, these type of axion decay constant is something that is interesting, and then like it will correspond to a mass of the particle which is quite light. It's milli-EV. It's lighter than any particle that we know in the standard model, apart from the photon, which is massless, right? And like certainly much, much lighter than the WIMP. So in the next lecture, you are going to see like these particles will have very different observational consequences when we compare to WIMP searches. Okay, so, but today we'll be mostly talking about how these particles are produced in the early universe. Okay.
Yeah, but.
I don't know, like the system looks a little bit different.
It has a button, so it's
I'm shocked. Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Yes. All right.
Why we assume decay constant is so big?
Yeah, so we'll come back to this when we talk about observation. But like that's roughly like going to be the axion decay constant that is around the region of parameter space that is most interesting. But like, but I just give you a sense like why. But like here, like I'm just giving you a sense of the mass scale. Our next lecture we'll be talking about where that comes up. Okay, so last lecture we talked about the molecules, right? We talked about how water, no matter how you arrange like the hydrogen and oxygen to start with, how you put the three atoms together, they will eventually relax to a structure which has this angle roughly like 105-ish degrees. So we understand like to do this, we need two things. One is the minimum at the right theta, right? Which is something that we just talked about. And then like secondly, I want to understand the angle as a dynamical variable. And I need to know its dynamics. Okay. So for the water, what is the equation that describes how this angle here, let's say, settle down to the minimum? What would be the equation? What is this object? Or like even simpler, like in any molecule, like two atoms, right? You put them together. You are like you stretch them a bit. Like what is the equation which tells you like it settles down to the minimum?
What is the system?
You start.
I want to go sleep or something. No, very good. Then you can answer the question.
So it's an oscillator, right? Like anything like a. When we are trying to find a minimum, we are trying to solve like oscillator equation, right? And we are trying to, if we want to understand like how fast they settle down to the minimum, right? Then like I'm basically solving equation, which is basically like this, right? Let me make sure that the sign is correct. Right. Right, so that's the equation that I'm trying to solve, right? To understand like whether water settles to its minimum. Of course, like here, it's theta minus theta minimum for water because the theta minimum is not equal to zero. And for water, right, like this is basically set by the electromagnetic interaction, which is in the molecules. This can both be like how molecules, vibration of the molecules can be emitted, right? Like into photons, or maybe sometimes it's some interaction with the medium, right? Both of which will be able to settle the theta angle to zero, or to its minimum. So similarly for the axial, right? Like we want to understand like how it settles to the minimum. We want to like basically write down like an equation like this. Right. So in the axion case, the thing that I'm doing is basically copying this equation. Okay. Right. But like I need to find out like what is m a omega naught squared, what is the gamma, right, in the early universe.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the characteristic frequency of the particle? I have a non-relativistic particle. What's the equation of motion? What's this term here?
Yes.
Well, it's a very simple question, like the mass of the particle, right? I'm just like having a Klein-Gordon equation, right? So it's like a box A plus ma squared equal to zero. Ma squared A equal to zero, right? So that was like the that's where it come from, right? Okay, so this I know, like it's a mass square. Of course, like I'm talking about non-relativistic particle, like then like the spatial derivative is not very important. What about this?
Hubble.
So the friction is coming from Hubble expansion, right? So if you just plug in like the metric, the metric here, then like write it out, then you will find that, like there's a double derivative term here, and then like you can hit the derivative both on the metric or on the axiom field. Then like that's just where like you get this term, and of course this component. Okay, so this is basically the equation motion of the axiom, and in radiation domination. Like Hubble is equal to 1 over 2t. Okay. So let's look at this equation and see the different behaviors, right? So there are three possibilities, right? So just like all harmonic oscillator, at a very early time, right, when t is very small, Hubble is very large. So Hubble, like at some point, like Hubble is going to be much bigger than ma, right? So at this point, the friction is bigger than the oscillation frequency. I have an overdamped oscillator. The field is just sitting there, no matter which part of the potential it is at, right? Like because the friction is too large. So the solution for this is just like a is almost a constant. Okay, or in some sense, like, or in some cases, it can be slow rolling, but like most importantly, it is not moving very much, just sitting there on top of a potential. Then we get to the region where m is comparable to ma. At this point, right? So if I draw axion field as a function of time as t, right? So initially, it's just sitting there as a constant. When like h becomes order ma, like of course this this oscillator starts to oscillate, right? So it's going to do something like this, right? And initially, like of course the friction is very important. So this initial oscillation is complicated, a bit complicated. You can do it. I think you are going to like play with it a bit, like in a tutorial. But then, like, but more importantly, what happens? We want to understand, like, what happens at late time, right? So when the mass now is much bigger than Hubble, at this point, like, you have a harmonic oscillator with some friction.
Yeah. I don't understand why Hubble enters the line, because. So this A is axion field, right?
Axion field, yeah.
But like it's something internal, right? I mean, we don't, for example, like for other particles or other fields, we don't make it decay. Density decay, but we don't make fields decay, right? By inflation.
So when Hubble is very large, like the amplitude is not decaying, right? It's stuck there. Only when this particle is oscillating, then like the density decays, right?
So A is the density of the axions.
No, A is the field of the axion. But like the density, right? Like if you talk about of oscillating particle, right, at late time.
So we assume that axion field like permeates the space time.
Yeah, it's everywhere, right? So So going back here, right? So we are talking about the misalignment of this field in the early universe, right? Just like when we were saying before, like say the bar can be any value to start with. And now we promote this value to be a dynamical field. So initially, it will have a field value to start with. The question, and it is everywhere in the space, right?
Yeah, like why is it everywhere in the space and not localized as a particle?
Why is it everywhere in space? Okay, so there are many ways to answer your question. The one like is that probably is most visible is like visualizable is so Hubble, right? Is a parameter that's changing with time. So initially, like the Hubble patch is very very small, right? So so it's much smaller than the particle wavelength. So at that point, like of course, like this particle is just even a single particle is bigger than the size of the universe.
Okay.
At that point, and then like but like more importantly, like we are talking about like this field, which has some initial value. So like we were talking about last time, like the theta bar. Is a value which is almost the same everywhere, and it is an initial condition that will be set up by inflation, because inflation would tell you like it will inflate the patch, right?
Okay.
So this so let's say like at very early on, this theta value can choose very different values to start with. So in one patch it's called theta I, theta j. Okay, so each one of them is a Hubble patch, right? So it's a parameter, right? At that point, like it's, the axiom field doesn't have dynamics yet, so it's choosing some value. Now, like the inflation is happening, so like it is inflating this patch, right? So the whole universe we are observing today is inside this patch. Then, like everywhere in the universe, the field will start oscillating at a particular field value of theta I. Right, everywhere. Okay, so and for all the time, like during inflation, Hubble is let's say is very large, and then this field will just be stuck there, right? It will have some quantum fluctuations, but like it will just stuck at a value which is close to theta I. And then like at a later universe, when this particle, when the Hubble of the universe is comparable to the mass of the particle, then this particle starts oscillating, right? And it is oscillating always the same initial condition to start with. Okay, so I know like we are, yeah. So like here, like I know we are like usually used to think about like a particle is like a little ping pong ball, like which is sitting somewhere, right? Here that's not. A good description anymore. So instead, you are as you will see, like even more, like when we are talking about the description of like the detection and how they get produced in stars. This particle is more like a wave. You should really think more of it as a wave that is propagating.
Okay.
And the wavelength is really really large. And in that limit, it is something that is permeating the space.
Just to repeat again, so this like axiom field will couple to which part of the standard model?
So the axiom field, like it couples to QCD, right?
QCD, yes.
Right. So like initially, it was coupling to AGG dual, right? That's where it come from.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking about QCD axiom. Like we're, I'm going to emphasize this again.
But somehow you should couple to gravity as well, right?
Huh? Yeah, like everything coupled to gravity.
Yes.
Okay. So like we are not violating equivalence principle here. So everything is coupled to gravity in the same way.
Yes.
Okay. And because of that, like you get a field equation like this.
Okay.
Okay. So but like this is just like the equation motion of any, okay, it doesn't have to be the axiom, any massive scalar field, like a whatever field, in the early universe that is coupled to gravity, right? Like they will always have the same equation motion.
Maybe you just write down the action. So
Yeah,
the
sure.
technical explanation for that equation is just action with the gravity,
Right, sure.
minimum couple integral.
Yeah, so like
That's
the Lagrangian is just
just
like a d mu a. Yeah, so this is basically the thing that we are looking at. Okay, so of course, like this, this is more like a cosine square, cosine a over f times. Yeah, but like and the yeah, basically like the metric like enters here, right? So when you do the compute the equation motion, like you get these terms.
But Jungmo, do you assume that a doesn't depend on x? Because
huh?
You should have some gradient there as well.
Yes. So like the initial condition set up by inflation is like you basically stretch, like in the cosmic expansion, you stretch all k modes, right, to be very, very low k. So mostly, like you are looking at a state which is has zero k to start with. So it's really like a, yeah. So it's like a really just something that is cosine times mt, and it is oscillating up and down. Okay, so that's basically that's the axion field in the early universe, and then like afterwards, like well, I guess like in the beginning it's not even oscillating; it's just sitting there. And then like afterwards, like when the mass turn on, then like it start oscillating and diluting as a function of time. Okay, so good.
It's fine.
Okay, so now we get to the third stage when the mass turn on, right? You have a somewhat damped oscillator, so it is oscillating and the amplitude decreasing. So we want to know like how does the amplitude of the axion field go down? So to do that, basically, you need to use something that you learned early in your quantum mechanics class a while back. So you are trying to solve equation of motion, which has m much bigger than Hubble, right? So Hubble is introducing some time dependence, which is changing slowly. So for these type of problems, of course, you use the WKB approximation, right? So you are trying to solve for the evolution of this phi field, or a field, as a function of time. And you know, like it has to be, it should be proportional to some decay exponent, which of course depends on time, right? Times cosine mat, right? So in general, like the solution I'm looking for should have a form like this. Then you can ask, like, given this is the rough form, how do I find out what is gamma, right? Given that equation of motion. So first, well, you match the term, which is order ma squared, okay? So, and ma is much bigger than Hubble. So, the term that will contribute include like a double dot, right? This gives you like a minus ma squared cosine mat, right? Which cancels with the term, which goes as m squared a, which is basically the opposite of this, okay? Then you ask for the term which is order ma gamma, right? Or ma Hubble, or ma Hubble, right? Like so these are, should be the same order. Then like the a double dot term gives you a 2, right? Coming from like either of the derivative can hit like this or that, right? You get like a gamma of t. You get a sine mat, right? Of course, like multiplied by ma. And then like from this term, you basically hit like the cosine. Then like you get like a minus 3ht sine mat ma, right? Okay, and you know like this has to, at this order it should be 0,2. So basically like it means like this line and this line is equal to each other, right? Well, like they sum up to 0, right? So so this tells you that gamma has to be equal to 3/2 Hubble, right? Okay. So why did we do this? Well, the reason is because like I now can write this. So Hubble is a dot a over a, right? So so this basically tells you like this thing which is in the exponent is going to be 3/2 a dA over a, right? Integrated. Okay. So what this means is that now like if you ask like sorry, like maybe I should use phi here so that like I don't make you think like the axion field is the same as the scale factor. Yeah. So then like you will find like the phi of t is basically like the a at some time, which is when Hubble is equal to ma, over the scale factor at some late time t to the 3/2 power, phi naught cosine mat. Okay. So this 3/2 basically come from like the 3/2 here and the 3/2 here. Okay. Why do we, like we thought like all the one numbers are one, right? Like why did I spend so much time like keeping this factor? Well, because like the energy density of this phi field is equal to well like mostly just like ma squared phi of t squared, right? So the kinetic term, well maybe let me just be more careful. D phi t squared plus ma squared phi squared, okay? So the sine and the cosine will cancel each other, right? Roughly. Sine squared plus the cosine will become one. And then like the important thing here is just like a, h equal to ma over a of t cubed times ma squared phi naught squared, okay? So, and this is this quantity is the energy density at initially, right? So why is this important? Because now I recover the a to the minus 3 scaling, right? Which tells you that somehow this classical wave, which has a mass in the early universe, actually scale, well, like not only in the early universe, but also later universe, scales exactly like what we want for dark matter field. Of course, this is not surprising because this field phi, right, at late time, it has no momentum. It's just like oscillating up and down. So and it has a mass, so it should behave just like a massive particle, and a massive particle in the universe redshift like matter. But this is how you see, just like if I have any classical field, scalar field with a mass, it will scale exactly what we want. Okay, so so this behaves dark matter. Okay, so that's good. So so now now that we established like at late time scales dark matter, we want to understand like what is the density?
Dark matter in early universe, right?
Dark matter like any time, right? Later. So for any time later than the time where like the Hubble is equal to ma, it will redshift like matter. So this oscillation, so this slope goes as a to the minus 3. Right? So any time later, it will redshift like matter. And that's what we want. Okay, so now we understand like a redshift like matter. We can ask like what is the density which is stored in the axion field at late time. So we know that at the time when it starts oscillating, it will have some initial angle, right? So we said like let me call it phi like for all of the rest of the lecture, right? So I have this periodic symmetry. You should think of it as a field direction along some sort of a Mexican hat potential, like which is going around, right? And of course, like initially, like in the early universe, before the mass of the axion field turn on, the axion doesn't know where to be, right? And it doesn't know which point is the minimum. So originally, this initial theta angle minus the theta angle, which is the minimum, which is, of course, equal to 0. So this quantity should be totally random, and it should be order 1, right, in radian. So that's what I would expect as the initial condition. But let me call this thing theta initial bar. Okay. So and this initial condition persists, right? So the initial condition until the mass is of order Hubble. So throughout the whole time, the field is just stuck there, right? Due to Hubble friction, and it will just keep like this value all the way to when the particle start oscillating. After it start oscillating, the thing redshifts like matter. Okay, so at this point, the density inside the phi field is basically ma squared times fa squared times theta I bar squared, right? And it redshifts like a matter. So it's better to use the number density, right? Which is basically ma fa squared theta I squared. And we know like a redshift like matter. So this goes as the temperature today, or at some later time, over the temperature of the universe at the time when Hubble is equal to ma cubed. Okay? So this is n phi at any time later. So again, we want to use the fact that rho matter equal to rho radiation at matter radiation equality, right? Okay. So basically, I want to know like what is rho phi at rho a over rho gamma at any temperature, but in particular equals to equality. So so this will be number density n phi over, times n phi over n gamma, right, times t equality. And this is basically the factor here. So I will get ma to the 1/2 power. FA squared over M Planck T equality. Okay, and we want this factor to be 1 at the time of matter ratio equality. Okay, so as we expected, so if I have some theta initial bar, which is order 1, then at late time, demanding that I get a dark matter with the right density will give me another equation. And certainly, things like my particle, right? Like there's only 2 parameters. There's the mass of the particle and the FA. This relation would only depend on these 2 quantities, plus quantity that we know, including the Planck scale, the temperature at the matter radiation quality, and this somewhat unknown order 1 number. Right? So what this means is that now I can draw another line in the axion parameter space, right? Which scales the following. Okay, so let's do this line. So now like I can draw another line, right? And since this so here like there's 1 line which is MAFA is equal to so this is 1, and the other line now is MA 1/2 FA squared is equal or almost equal to M Planck to the 3/2 power times T equality. Right? So this certainly has a smaller slope, so it's a line like this. And when you have 2 lines, they will meet each other at some point. And this point happens, you can check at FA, which is order 10 to the 11 GeV. Okay, so let me draw it actually a little bit lower. Okay, and which correspond to axion mass, that would be roughly like a 100 micro EV or 0.1 milli EV. And that is the mass scale, which is most interesting for search of axion dark matter. Okay. So so just to go back to here, we know roughly, so axion dark matter would point to MA, which is order 100 micro EV, and FA, which is order like 10 to the 11 GeV. Okay, so do you know like what is the wavelength of this particle? Roughly, how long is the wavelength? So 100 MeV is inverse Fermi, right? So this thing is 9 order of magnitude smaller, right? So this is so the wavelength of the A is of the millimeter. Okay. So of course, like we, unlike in the WIMP case, for the axion there are many trade-offs, right? So for example, like this initial angle doesn't have to be exactly order 1, right? It can be bigger, a little bit bigger than 1, or like a bit smaller. So which means that this mass that is you know, that would be like of the particle that is making of all dark matter today can also have a small like a region of uncertainty depending on basically coming from the uncertainty in sigma initial, theta initial. And which means that this wavelength can also vary between like a millimeter, centimeter, or even sometimes a meter. But like all of these computation tells you that for searching for this particle, we are looking at a very, very different type of experiment, right? none of the WIMP experiments that we talk about will be able to get so light a particle, right? Like the scattering of this particle is going to do nothing to the detector, right? Even for MeV like particles, capital MeV, we are not like we are having a trouble like searching for it, let alone like a milli EV. So as you will see, though this type of particles would tell us like we have a very different search strategy. So that's basically this line, right? We have a particle which has a density which is a constant in the early on. And at some point, the mass turn on, and the particle start to behave like radiation. Okay, so like this example of a particle which has an energy density that evolved exactly like the CC early on, and then turn into matter. Sorry, at late time. Okay, so that's the misalignment mechanism. So the true axion to Q2 QCC axion actually does something different from what I explained. Okay. So and now like let me tell you what is the difference. So for the discussion like we had throughout the lecture. We are talking about an axion which has a mass, ma, which is a constant, right? So the particle has a mass which is a constant, and it is time independent. So in reality, of course, ma is not a constant if it is from QCD. Right? Why? So where does the axion actually get its potential from? This thing here, right? The way we computed is the way that we didn't compute it is through like the Cayley Lagrangian, right? We were talking about pions, mesons, and like finding the minimum of this potential. Right? But certainly, the mesons, these degree of freedom, are only good degree of freedom at zero temperature, or at very, very low temperature. If the temperature of the universe is above lambda QCD, right? Then the universe is actually like a soup of gluons and quarks, right? There's no confinement yet, and certainly these pseudo-Goldstone bosons coming from confinement, and also the QCD axion potential, which is also a result of the confinement, shouldn't be there, right? So people have computed like how exactly this axion potential go away as you go to higher and higher temperatures. So these scalings and these important factors are summarized in a paper called QCD axion precisely. If you are interested in looking at the very much details. But here we are just going to be.
So that's what I want to ask. Like, since this is matter related, some way, somehow, is this like the pions are like matter, right? Like standard model. So how can the axion field permeate the space time?
I will ask answer your question after I talk about this, OK? Okay, so there's that's a very, very good question. And there are papers written because of this this question. But like here, right? But first let's talk about temperature, right? So when the temperature is very large compared to the QCD scale, Then like the universe is hot, there's no confinement. Then like basically like the axion potential is zero. So in other words, my axion mass, which is a function of time, is zero to start with. Okay, and at some point around temperature of the universe when it is roughly like a 1 GeV, it will go up until at some point it goes to the axion mass at infinite time or like t equal to zero. Okay, so this transition happens around like 100 MeV, and this turning up is actually something some process which happens very fast. If you want more details, go check this paper. But like to the reason like why this is important is because again, when we are talking about the harmonic oscillator, right, we are trying to compare the axion mass with the Hubble scale as a function of time. So the Hubble scale is something that actually goes like this. Okay, so if you compare the numbers, here, right, if you look at here, at the time when the temperature is roughly TQCD, the mass of the axion is this roughly TQCD scale square over axion decay constant. Well, the Planck's, the Hubble scale is order TQCD square over FA. Right? So this is M pi F pi. Which is and all of these are order 100 MeV. Sorry, some Planck. Okay, so as long as FA is much smaller than Planck, which for us it is because we are talking about 10 to the 11 GeV FA and 10 to the 18 GeV and Planck. At this point is way bigger than the Hubble scale at that time, right? So there is a huge difference. If like the potential is always on, right? Like what I'm showing you is, let me just do a different color. This red dashed line, then this crossing of h equal to m will happen much earlier, right? So the estimates that we did before assume like this particle start oscillating at this top point, so it has been diluting for much longer compared to a real QCD axion, whose mass only turn on at a much later time, right? So, which means that the parameter combination of MA and FA that will make QCD axion, like the real QCD axion dark matter, is slightly different from the results we get in this estimate, okay? So in reality, which I think like is another tutorial we're going to do, the QCD axion would have like for the QCD axion to be dark matter, you are going to find a different line with actually a different slope, and you are going to find this out. This time I'm not going to give you the answer, okay? But like the important part is just transition. And the question one needs to really think about is as the mass is turning on at this point, what is conserved? Okay. So how does the energy density change as the mass is turning on? So that is something that you'll work on, and Amalia will help you, I think. All right, so that's basically this question of related to the QCD axion. Okay, so since you asked that question, which is a good question, let's talk about the density. Okay, so I said, so here, the reason why the axion loses its potential is because of thermal effect, right? Because like when we are talking about universe at high temperature, I cannot use the zero temperature action or zero temperature properties But like we need to use the finite temperature effective theory or thermal field theory to compute the properties of the particles in that medium. So similarly, you can get effect on the axion potential coming from densities, right? So yeah, so let's so for the QCD axion, which has a potential that look like this, with this difference like 2 pi FA. As you increase the density, of course, it's going to change the height of this potential. Okay, let me call this height lambda to the 4. And the way that it changes the height of the potential is from density is through what is known as the sigma term. Okay, so so as a function of density, so the potential height as a function of density is equal to the density equal to 0 value minus nucleon sigma term times the density of the nuclear matter. And this value of this parameter is roughly 60 MeV. Okay? So
what is lambda again? Sorry?
Yeah?
Lambda again?
Lambda is the height of the potential. You should think of it as m pi squared f pi squared. Right?
Yeah.
So this is roughly like a 100 MeV to the 4 minus this is 60 MeV, okay, times the density of matter. Okay? So okay, so then like density of matter is basically the energy density of the matter over the GeV, right? Which is proton mass. So this is roughly .06 times rho. Okay? So then you can ask like, oh, okay, so in the universe, it's not empty, right? We have all kinds of objects. And we have the Earth, we have the Sun, we have neutron stars. They all have very different densities, energy densities. So let's see like what is the energy density of all of these objects. Do you remember? What's the energy density of a star? Or Earth, let's say like Earth. How do I estimate?
Like mass is 10 to the 24.
Uh-huh. That is very hard way to estimate. How to, like these two are actually very similar. How do I estimate? What's the number density? How can I compute the number density of
most abundant element on Earth?
Huh?
What's the most abundant element on Earth?
Does that matter? That's a factor of 10, right?
Okay, so like,
what's its,
water density.
Okay, so, but I'll answer this question. What sets the density of matter on Earth? Like, what is the binding energy, binding force which matters?
Electromagnetic.
Okay, so what is the parameter which characterizes that lens? Yeah, fine structure constant is good. Good answer. But like, fine structure constant is dimensionless, right?
Yes.
So how to get a dimension for a number? What is the particle which matters most, like for chemistry?
Electron.
Yeah. Right. So I should expect like the interparticle spacing, right, to be 1/2 ME, which is what?
0.5 eV.
No, like
0.5 MeV.
This is the Bohr radius, right?
Yeah.
Right? So like this is 0.5 MeV.
Yeah.
This is 1/100, yeah. Right? So this is basically inverse KeV, right?
Okay.
So inverse KeV is otherwise known as 1/ roughly a is roughly like a nanometer. Okay, so that's how you estimate the size, like the, you know, the density of the particles on Earth, right?
That's number density.
So this is the interparticle spacing, right? So this in cubed. So the number density is basically KeV cubed, right? And the energy density is KeV cubed times the GeV, right? Good. All right, so I can plug it back in here, right?
Why the GeV?
GeV is the proton mass, right? So most of the elements on Earth is like protons, right? Or like neutrons, but like they are the same mass, right? So a nucleon has a mass of GeV or field GeV. The interparticle spacing is KeV cubed. Maybe there's a 10 because we have a lot of silicon, but these things doesn't matter very much. Because when you plug in back in here, right? So for the sun, I have like 100 MeV to the 4 minus KeV cubed, right? Times 0.05 times GeV, right? And certainly like the second term is very, very small compared to the first term, right?
Yeah.
In MeV unit, this is 10 to the 8. In MeV units, this is 10 minus 9. This is 50, right? So we are talking about density which is 16 order of magnitude smaller compared to the potential high. So what does it mean? It means like the sun is not perturbing this potential very much, right? The axion doesn't give a shit, right? It's just going around. The mass is not changing here, right?
Okay.
What about a neutron star? So similarly, like what is R? What is this parameter?
To be like QCD coupling?
Strong force,
right? It's the strong force, right? So what is the mass which is most important for strong force?
Proton mass, QCD scale.
Huh? QCD scale, yeah. So it's the pion mass, right?
Yeah.
Right, the pion is the force which puts nucleons together, right? So this should be like order 1 of n pi, right? So and then like, of course, this means like the density is m pi cubed, right? And the energy density now is like sigma, which is 60 MeV, OK, times m pi cubed. All right? So this is now more interesting, right? This is quite close to that,
yeah.
Right? So so that's why like there's people thought about this, like actually quite a lot. Like when we form a neutron star, like what do I do actually to the axion potential? How does the axion potential actually look like in this high density environment? And those density corrections in that case is important. But of course, like the neutron stars is very, very limited region of the universe, right? So only when axion wave is going there, like it is doing something to it. Like in most of the universe, it's very empty.
Yeah.
Even for stars, it's like it counts as almost exactly empty for the axion, right?
Yeah.
Only like when you go to like this type of density, it matters. So and like if you do the same more carefully, and here like order one numbers does matter. Roughly, the correction to the axion potential at like a four like a nuclear density is roughly like 20 to 30%. Okay, so people have done these computations. Basically, like inside the neutron star, like this potential like height will get like a little bit smaller by 20 to 30%. So that's how like a density effect. So just like temperature will affect the axion potential, the density would affect the QCD axion potential too. And this is how it works. But like for the whole universe, which is very, very dilute, the field, though like it is coupled to QCD, right? Like the coupling strength is so weak that its property is not very much affected when it goes through these, even like the dense objects like the sun, okay? And the weakness of the coupling strength is basically set by the axion decay constant or 1 over axion decay constant.
So this axion field is like localized at the matter objects or not? It's in the vacuum, well, it's in the
It's
space.
permeating everywhere. Because like for the axion, right, like it couples to almost, like it couples to everything very, very weakly. As we said, like even the sun is not doing much to it, right? Like so for it, right, like whether there is gas, whether there is a star, like it doesn't matter. It
so
just doesn't see it.
It was created at the matter, but then it got diluted everywhere.
Well, like this axion dark matter is created very early on, right?
No, but like you just said that it should be created when the when we lower the temperature below QCD scale.
Yes. Yeah. So at that point, right? So when the temperature is roughly the QCD scale, that time like the universe is very, very dense, right?
Yes.
So like it's order GeV to the 4, and that's why like the potential is not there. Then like but at that time, we know from the CMB, right? The universe is very, very uniform, even at the CMB time, and at the time of like a QCD phase transition, it's like just totally uniform.
Yeah.
So that's like in that case, basically the axion is starting like to oscillate at that point, seeing a totally uniform universe. There is a density correction, but the density is totally uniform. So no matter where you are at the axion, you start oscillating exactly the same way. Right.
Yes. Yes, but like I'm confused because like, so it is it create? So I get this turn on mechanism. Like it gets turned on after lambda QCD. But is it generated by matter or not?
Is it generated by matter or not?
This,
depending on what you're asking. So the axion like a misalignment field value is there all the time, but like as the for the QC axion, right? Like there is like initially like the potential is flat, so there is no energy density, right? But like some energy density is being pumped into the axion field from the matter.
Yes.
At that point.
Yes.
Yeah. But it is pumped into the axion like in a uniform way at that point.
So can I imagine like this? So like, okay, this axion field is like there, right from the beginning, but after
after some time, it gets a mass.
It gets a mass. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not generated in the same way as the freeze-in, freeze-out model,
yeah,
or some standard model bumping to that each other.
Yeah.
It's not generated.
Could you please overview like how this mass generation happens?
Scale is
fine, but like why we get how mass gets generated?
It's actually in the other way. The mass would have been generated if we never considered cosmology. That's what we're gonna do. We'll see what there is a potential. If there is a potential, you find a minimum, you will find a mass.
Okay.
But the thing is, if you heat up everything, that term the term coming from the temperature,
okay,
dominates everything, just washed out.
Okay.
The potential has always been there. It's just
okay, that's not true. The potential is not always there.
Okay, it's not there when there's no piles.
Yeah, like at a very high temperature, like the potential is not there. Yeah, it's just because QCD is not confined. At that point, pion doesn't have a mass either, right? It's a true ghost dome.
Yes, that's what I'm confused about. At the same time, we need pion, and at the same time, we say that the field is there already.
Huh?
The field is there.
So like the like it's just like so. Okay, so the other way you can think about it. Which is not the case of the axion, like totally the case of the axion, is like, let's say like I have a potential which look like this, right? Like but like also like with a circle field direction, right?
Yeah.
So at that point, when the symmetry is restored, both of these particles has a mass, right?
Okay.
Either you are going this way or like the other way, like you have a mass, right? So these are the 2 degree of freedom you have, right? So they are both massive particles. But like, of course, like this theta direction is there, right? That field direction is always there.
Yeah.
It's just like not a good degree of freedom. It's only a good degree of freedom after symmetry breaking, right? So at late time, so like this is just like a scalar field. At high temperature, any scalar field, no matter what the potential look like, is always going to get a term which is like this. So it's a thermal contribution to the potential which lifts all the like a massless symmetry breaking, right? Like so now like you have like a particle going this way, going that way, like both of them massive. Of course, at late time, like at low temperature, there is a symmetry breaking. Right, and now like you are talking about massless degree of freedom, which is rotating around, right? So this is how you see, right? Like the field can change properties.
Okay, so same. Okay.
Depending on the temperature.
I see.
And a lot of cosmology, like especially cosmology for like a Beyond Standard Model particles, like inflation production, like the complication is all coming from the fact that depending on the environment. What you think of at low energies, the effective potential at zero temperature is no longer a good degree of freedom, like a good description of the degree of freedom.
I see. Okay, so like in the same way, the axion scalar field goes through this phase transition, and z Lagrangian there, or epsilon theta?
Yeah, it's like effectively not there at early time. It's only there
so
at late time.
Potential after symmetry, after like
after symmetry, a QCD phase transition. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.